Hello, Eagles fans, and welcome to another edition of the Eagles Insider Podcast.
Eagles Beakley.
I'm Chris McPherson, joined as always by Bo Wolf and Fran Duffy. Hope everyone had a wonderful
That was the most well-timed Eagles Beakley right in front of the... That was good.
Yeah. Every week, you get a little bit better. Your timing, like the Eagles' offensive line, just gets a little bit better.
Listen, that's what it's about. It's about getting as good as you can be for the end of the season. You got to hit your stride heading into the playoff run.
And the Eagles are certainly doing that, coming off the 33-10 demolition of the Dallas Cowboys. How glorious it was. And being out there in Arlington, Texas at AT&T Stadium was just, it was amazing. I mean, when the schedule came out, I couldn't wait to be down there in person. I mean, the Eagles don't play on Thanksgiving all that often. It was only the sixth time in franchise history, but to be there in Dallas, absolutely, absolutely magical, to say the very least. And I couldn't have dreamed of that game unfolding any better the way that Mark Sanchez led the offense early, LeSean McCoy got things going on the ground, and the defense just forcing Tony Romo to see ghosts and just go down before there were even bodies around him.
I think you could dream a little bigger. You don't have a better imagination than that? Wouldn't it be fun if they won like 70-0 and, you know,
I thought it was great.
Tony Romo
the way it
quit
was.
The game in the middle, of, like just quit football in the middle of the game.
Jerry Jones is like running on the field crying or something like that. That might have been the only thing.
The Cowboys walk off the field and Jerry, like on the South Park with Dan Snyder, like Jerry Jones is just playing all by himself against the Eagles.
That being said, it was a pretty good game. I mean, it was, look, it could have been, the deficit at the end of the game could have been even greater, obviously, but the Eagles in all phases just played a really, really good game. They took away everything that Dallas tried to do offensively. Holding that offense to 10 points at home is a great accomplishment. And defensively, they were able to, on our offensive side of the ball against their defense, we were able to move the ball with ease. You know, you'd like to see them finish better in the red zone, 1-for-5, but and that's why I was saying the deficit could have been even greater. But really, just a great overall performance from all three phases.
Should we talk about the one bad thing from this game now?
Let's talk about
the red zone. Was it 1-for-5?
1-for-5, correct.
And you know they had a 27-yard touchdown and a 30-something-yard touchdown run from LeSean McCoy. So they're still
getting explosive plays, but it's when you get down there. Because like Fran said, I mean, I was craving 40 burgers. Yeah. I was sitting at the end of the game. I'm like, just get that 40 against Dallas. You know, that could have been the thing I would have dreamed of to make it just a little bit sweeter.
What about the 50?
It's frustrating. Dallas was the 31st red zone defense coming to this game. So they are not good in the red zone, and the Eagles still weren't able to convert. I don't know. It's frustrating. Do they need to run more?
Do you put in Chris Polk in there?
Yeah.
Do you roll out Sanchez more?
If I never see another jump ball to Riley Cooper from the 4-yard line again, I will be a happy man.
I think it's just a matter of execution and just getting better at everything that you do. Every one of those trips, it wasn't like you could look at it and say like, oh yeah, this was the one reason why they went 1-for-5. It was, you know, just tiny things here and there. I mean, like the whether it was a miscommunication on the jump ball or early on, we had drops in the back of the end zone as well. You had one to Matthews that got punched out at the last minute, one to Ertz, same deal. So, look, I mean, the chances are there. It's just a matter of capitalizing and just, you know, changing some of the little things. And 1-of-5 turns into 3-of-5, and all of a sudden it's a pretty good day.
Huge difference. But those are going to be the things. Those are going to be the points you're going to leave on the field that when you get to playoff time that, you know, you may not get 5 opportunities in the red zone against a team like the Packers. And if you don't convert those, you end up with the big deficit.
Well, it's going to be the case on Sunday. I mean, when you play against Seattle, you want touchdowns instead of field goals. We saw it a few weeks ago against Green Bay, like early on in the game. You know, when they're scoring touchdowns, you have to be able to respond back with touchdowns of your own. Getting field goals down there is good. You still want to get points, but ultimately it's about punching into the end zone.
But it was amazing to see Mark Sanchez and the way he orchestrated the offense, and the tempo seems to get better and better each and every week. You keep saying as you watch these games, that's the fastest I've seen this offense run. It is lightning quick the way he's getting them in and out you won't even say the huddle, just getting them in and out of the breaks, getting them on the field, and getting them ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny watching the games on TV. The broadcast crews, they can't show replays.
Yeah.
So they'll try and go, and they'll start the replay, and they got to crash out. So the offense is moving at a really fast pace. Mark Sanchez played probably his best game as an Eagle in the small sample size we've gotten over the first few games. He was efficient, made good decisions, didn't turn the ball over, he said. And look, I mean, it was a huge win. can you keep it rolling now against the Super Bowl champs coming in on Sunday?
And it was an interesting game plan because, I mean, the Eagles were more run heavy even early in the game than they have been in recent weeks. Sanchez was not throwing the ball downfield really very often. I think it was two passes over 20 yards in the air or something like that. He was throwing short, but maybe that's the, you know, the plan so that he doesn't turn the ball over and this offense can function as a whole. You know, we've seen when they don't turn the ball over, they move the ball.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I think a lot of people have talked about that, but it's not like the plays have been different. I don't think they've called different plays. I think that since Sanchez has been in, they're still calling the same plays. He's just going to different people. You know, instead of hitting Jeremy Maclin on the deep post, he's hitting Jordan Matthews running on the crosser. And it's not necessarily that he has more faith in Matthews. It could be the teams are starting to play more over the top to protect themselves against those deep post routes. And
no, you know, it's because they're best friends.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, it's they're BFFs. But, you know, it's just one of those things where – you know, I think people kind of jump on and try and find a narrative as to why guys are doing better or why guys are succeeding in one area as opposed to another. But, you know, I think that Sanchez is just doing what, you know, he's playing within the scheme and hitting guys that are open. And right now, I mean, Matthews is the beneficiary of that.
No, I think that allows him to get the tempo going, taking the short passes, because you're not taking the deep shots. You're not going to be as accurate. You're going to have the incompletions. All right, you're going to stop and stall and, you know, struggle to get things picked up again. You take those short passes and you just keep taking it to the defense, and that Cowboys defense just was not able to handle the pace that the Eagles were playing at whatsoever.
No, no question about it. And look, I mean, it's all about moving the chains, keeping the offense on schedule, and you get down to the red zone and you finish drives. I mean, that's what it's about.
It's all about putting points on the board, baby.
That's it.
However you can do it.
It's all about getting the ball out.
You know, it's great seeing the offensive line finally come together. You know, you had the suspension to Lane Johnson at the beginning of the year. You had Jason Kelsey's injury with the hernia. You have Evan Mathis with the knee injury. You know, Matt Tobin suffers a concussion, you know, after a couple starts. It seems like they've got the five best guys. They're all playing together well. The timing is there. It seems like they're gelling together at the right time. I mean, this is the final stretch of the season where you want to be playing your best football, and it seems like the offensive line, which was so dominant, you felt like all of last season, is finally getting to that point here in 2014.
And you know what I would tell Andrew Gardner?
What's that?
I would say, Andrew, only you can put the guard in Gardner.
I think I've heard that before somewhere. But
can we like work in the video and like splice it in there?
You know, I mean,
I like that I got the good joke thing this time.
Yes, this time.
Oh, nice.
It was two different endings.
Must have been the delivery.
Yes. It always is.
It's like one of those movies where you see it the first time and you're like, that wasn't that good. And you see it the second time at home and you're like, this is a lot funnier than I remember. Maybe that's the case with BT. But no, I mean, look.
Do you get it, though, because guard, you have to put a U in Gardner to make it have guard in it?
That's correct.
So only you can put the guard in Gardner.
Whatever works, man. but no, really. I mean, this offensive line, look, they are starting to come together. Chip Kelly talked about it this week, about the communication starting to get better across the entire line. He talked about those guys getting healthy. Lane Johnson starting to get back into the swing of things. Andrew Gardner settling in at right guard. And it's, you know, proving itself out in the field. The run game is starting to hit its stride, and it's going to be big things down the stretch.
Now, what was interesting was I was looking at the Pro Football Focus grades. I was looking up some different stats, and they have a feature.
Must have been very enlightening.
It was. I was on there checking out, and they have like an All Stars of the Week, like their Pro Bowl team from that week, and they
take
the best players.
Evan Mathis.
No, not Evan Mathis. Lane Johnson. Him saying Lane Johnson made me think of it.
Okay.
But the one person who I figured I was expecting to see was Fletcher Cox. And I was sitting there. I was like, how's Fletcher Cox?
Was he not in there?
No, he was not on there.
Oh, man. Well,
you know.
There you go.
But
trust him as far as you can throw him.
But the defensive line, which, you know, the guys were going to have character. Fletcher Cox is a guy who doesn't say much.
Quickly, was there anybody else on there from the Eagles? Or was it just Lane Johnson?
It was just Lane Johnson, yes.
Okay. All right. Sorry. Continue.
So, was there anyone else who would you put a...
Well, Fletcher makes sense.
Fletcher was one I was looking for and expecting to see. So.
And they also love Brandon Graham a lot, and rightfully so.
Certainly.
This season, but
No, the only Eagle on there was Lane Johnson for the week. So you go to the defense side of football. Fletcher Cox doesn't say much in interviews. Benny Logan is jovial, good guy, one of the friendliest guys in the locker room. And I remember I talked to Benny Logan, asked him, you know, the question that everyone was asking, so what do you think of the Cowboys' offensive line? And he just deadpans and goes, they're okay. And I remember
he was right.
There, yeah, well, he turned out to be right. But I'm standing there with Ruben Frank from Comcast Sports, and you know, I'm like sitting there like, is he gonna add a little bit more to the answer? Or is this gonna be it? And I'm like, Oh, great. He's going down this road. And then the next day, Fletcher Cox, you know, makes his comments in the media about the offensive line. So certainly they want to respect. They earned it with that dominant performance. And, you know, it was one thing seeing it live, seeing how dominant they were. What did it look like, Fran, when you watched the tape the next day? Was it?
They are who we thought they were.
Oh, that's good.
Good timing. Well done. Perfect timing.
No, I mean, look, the defensive line, obviously, they held up their end of the bargain going into that game. The offensive line of Dallas went, you know, came in with all kinds of fanfare, and Benny Logan, Cox, Sed Thornton, all those guys. I mean, all the guys up front really held their own. You saw Brandon Bear hold himself up against Tyron Smith multiple times.
It's twice his age.
Well, look, I mean, he held his own, all right? So, look, it's just across the board, it was a really great performance from all those guys up front. Really, I mean, they shut down that stretch run game of Dallas. They couldn't get that signature play going. And really, just the entire run game, really, in that first half was a moot point for Dallas. They were able to get some chunks early on, but nothing that was that made you feel like this is going to be a good day on the ground for them.
Fran, you've called it seems like all season long. Whenever we've talked about the Cowboys, you said they've had the formula. They've been able to stick to it. You know, good, solid defense. Run everything to DeMarco Murray. Have Tony Romo not make too many throws. You're trailing 14-0 in the first quarter. You got to get away from that philosophy. And then the Eagles stopping the run on top of it just forced them to put the ball in Romo's hands. And Romo, who had the short week, obviously not good for that back injury that he's been dealing with.
Yeah, and I think I didn't go back and look at the numbers, but I'm pretty sure that the Eagles defense was only on the field for 70 snaps. I might be wrong on that, but that's a low number for them. And that's just a credit to the offense for being able to have such a high amount of plays and keep that Dallas defense on the field. And you talked about it. Look, you're scoring points. You're limiting what that Dallas run game can do. They were able to take them out and kind of mess with that formula that we talked about. And look, they were able to make it work, and that's how you get such a big win over that team.
They sort of salted that game away in the second half like the Cowboys formula. I mean, Mark Sanchez threw for 15 yards in the second half after throwing for over 200 in the first half, so that was fun to watch. It's always fun to watch a team just physically dominate somebody, and that's what they did to the team from Dallas.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
Nothing.
I can think of some things.
Nothing.
What was good?
Was he going to Florida?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Maybe that would be a terrible hire. It'd be hilarious.
It would be hilarious. I would be really, really shocked.
He's probably only going for a vacation. I don't think they have
him getting hired there at Florida would be almost as shocking as Brady Hoke being kept at Michigan.
Could it? Would it be possible for you to have more of a rooting interest in a college game than if it was Al Golden's Miami against Adazio's Florida?
No. Probably not. Probably not. Very, very little chance that I would have more rooting interest in any game.
Do you think, would you care more about that result or if, like, Temple was in the BCS championship game?
What is the importance of the Florida-Miami game?
It's like a WWE stipulation. It's loser leaves town. It's a retirement match.
Oh man. Oh, in that case, it's Florida. It's the Florida-Miami game.
Okay. It's good.
But the thing is, you know, he could still suffer through the years, though, if it wasn't that kind of stipulation. So
if he gets that job, how long does he last? Under 2 years.
There's so many factors to go into that. I'm not even gonna. He's got a great group of guys working with him. So that's it. That's all I got.
Guys being dudes.
Just going politically correct here. Jeez. Yes.
Dudes to the left of me. Dudes to the right.
Dudes stuck to the in right. The middle. Dudes to the left. Stuck in the middle with you.
It's good. It's good.
Oh man, what is he? I mean, what does he really do with his day?
It's good.
All right.
Thanks, B.
Back to the Eagles.
They need a new social media team. Yeah. Say at least
he is. That's his job. Head football coach / social media coordinator.
Let's go back to the Eagles here as we swerve things back on track. What I think really helped the Eagles' defense was it seemed like the referees let them play, because there were times early on in the game where, you know, the corners Bradley and Kerr were getting a little physical with the receivers, and you know the rest were
they've doing it done it all over the league. It's hilarious that like we were hand wringing over the ticky tack, you know, holding calls in the secondary in the preseason. It was like, oh, the league is changing. Everything's like this. What are they doing to the game? And then it gets to the season, and you can just mug guys, and it doesn't matter.
Well, they did it the first few weeks, just to kind of keep up the pretense that it was going to carry over from the preseason. But it seems like now they're letting cornerbacks get away with more.
And I think Chip Kelly and Bill Davis have both talked about it, that in the beginning of the game, they kind of get a sense of how the refs are going to call it, and then they play from there. I mean, there were a few plays that ticky-tack calls could have been made against Bradley Fletcher, could have been made against Kerry Williams, and I think there were a couple the other way too that that were left in the referee's pockets. But you know, really just a good job. The secondary, I don't think, has gotten enough credit nationally and locally, really, for the job that they did. I mean, credit Bill Davis for you know, putting those guys in a position where they were able to take away Tony Romo's first read, his second read in the progression. Often, I mean, he would drop back to pass. He would look at Jason Witten over the middle of the field, and he'd have Malcolm Jenkins and Michael Kendricks on top. And then he'd go over to Dez Bryant, and he'd have Kerry Williams and Nate Allen on top of it. Like, it was just so often those kind of plays were taken away, and it resulted in a lot of big plays for the Eagles.
Do you think it's a degree of difficulty thing where the reason that Fletcher and Kerry don't get credit for what they do is because what they're being asked to do is so difficult? They're maybe left on an island more than most corners throughout the league.
Yeah, and it's honestly that position is one of those positions where, you know, it's almost like offensive tackle or quarterback, where, or not necessarily quarterback. Obviously, every decision that a quarterback makes is going to be put under the microscope. But offensive tackle, you're better off, you know, seen and not heard from. Like, if you're not giving up a play, everyone is fine. They won't really mention you. But the moment you give up one catch, now it's put into the forefront, and it's like, oh, this guy needs to get benched. We talked about it with Patrick Peterson a few weeks ago. Like, it's not easy playing on an island, playing man-to-man coverage in the NFL week to week, down after down after down. And these guys are doing a good job, honestly.
Also great seeing Michael Kendricks. Yeah. That had an outstanding game.
He was awesome.
You know, and he must have been talking. I didn't have a chance to talk to him after the game, but he must have been talking so much smack on the field. You could just tell as he's carrying, you know, Murray to the sideline. And I'm just like, he is probably popping off at him left and right and just getting his ear.
There was the one play where Murray, I think it was Murray, got ridden out of bounds, and he went flying into the bench and hit Donnie Jones and Dornbos, like, sitting on the bench. And Kendricks, like, gave him a mouthful, yeah, like, coming off, like, you know, watch yourself, watch what you're doing. Because it was I love Kendricks. Is a really fun player to watch. And since he's back and now healthy, especially with D'Amico on the sideline, like, he's really taking his play to another level.
And then you have to give credit to Casey Matthews.
Yep.
I mean, once again, everything was on his shoulders. Emmanuel Acho, he took part in the pregame warm-ups. He was active, but you could tell early on that he wasn't rotating in there whatsoever, that it was going to be Casey Matthews' show. You know, he got credit for the one sack down in the red zone after Fletcher Cox had a great tackle for loss. But, you know, I feel like Casey Matthews really just throughout the course of the season has really taken his game to another level when a lot of people, I think, kind of wrote him off.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a testament to him, and also just to being patient with guys and letting them develop at their own speed.
Patience? So. What? We gotta be patient with developing players.
Yeah, I believe that you do for some people.
Yeah,
it's every player is like a unique snowflake.
Oh, here
they're all different. Okay, they all take their own time.
We need some like poetic music to accompany this. Bo's thoughts.
Like the stripes of a zebra.
Referee's helping
nothing.
Out.
I have nothing. I can't top that. Pearls of wisdom.
Look at Andrew Gardner. Journeyman. Now he's a starter. He'll never give up that job. Constant Gardner.
Pearls of wisdom you can only find on the Eagles Beardley podcast.
Oh, nice. Whoa. How long were you holding on to that one?
I just thought of it when you were rubbing
your beard.
That's
pretty good. Okay. We'll give something for the fans
to listen to. So, yes, we are taping this on December 2nd, and Bo is just coming up with new excuses.
Bovember continues.
November has ended. Bovember continues.
Yeah, that's all that matters. It's Bo's world. We're just living in it.
It's like the summer of George. Just keeps on going.
Like the summer of George.
So let's take a look to this Sunday. The defending Super Bowl champion, Seattle Seahawks, come to Lincoln Financial Field. Eagles have won 10 straight games at home in the regular season. Seattle, red hot, back-to-back wins in the division against Arizona and the Niners, teams who defeated the Eagles. The exact same score, 19-3. No Super Bowl hangover. They're just one game out first place in the division. It seems like that they're starting to peak at the right time and getting ready to get into that defend mode so that they'll be able to make some noise in the postseason.
And, you know, I've said this before, but I believe that this game will be for the number two seed in the NFC. I believe this is for a bye. Whoever wins this game is going to get that two seed. I believe that Green Bay is going to get the one seed. They've got such an easy schedule. It's crazy how easy their schedule is.
You got to hope for them going to Buffalo and losing.
Yeah.
And I think that's possible.
It's
possible.
Or Detroit. If Detroit can win out and...
Yeah, that's true.
Detroit still controls their own destiny, if I remember correctly.
But I believe that it will be for the two seed. And obviously, whoever wins this game will have a tiebreaker that's going to be huge.
That's one thing the Eagles don't have.
It's really a two-game lead.
Yeah, right. The Eagles don't have many tiebreakers at this point.
And I think we're all counting on Arizona losing a couple more times. You think they're going to go to Logan Thomas?
I would be really surprised if they did.
They can't.
I don't think they can.
Drew Stanton
point.
Stinks.
Yeah.
So anyway, to the matchup. I'm fascinated by this matchup because, you know, I think everybody's sort of looking at how is the Eagles offense going to handle the Seahawks defense. But I think the Eagles defense is a really good matchup for the Seahawks offense. I'm not sure that I think the Seahawks are going to be able to do much on offense because we know the Seahawks defense has been very good against the run.
Precisely.
Marshawn Lynch is a different kind of running back, obviously, than DeMarco Murray. Up the middle, I think the Eagles defense has not been quite as good as on runs to the outside. But, you know, Bill Davis talked about it this week. Defending, you know, what team is better suited to defend read option stuff from opposing offense than this Eagles team that has so many college guys on staff and obviously Chip Kelly and the offensive guys here. So, and other than that, you know, you've talked about it. You can talk about it more now. But the Seahawks don't have much of an identity on offense other than
Marshawn Lynch
plays and sort of Russell Wilson running around in the backfield and making something happen.
Yeah, it's almost like a. It's
and they don't have the they don't have the guys on the outside to burn by our corners.
Absolutely,
so.
Not. It's you know last week I think everybody talked about the Dallas offense against the Eagles defense, and this week it's kind of flip flopped where I think everybody's talking about the Seattle's defense against this Eagles offense. Not enough people are talking about well what is Seattle's offense going to do against this Eagles D. Obviously, look, the Seattle run game is different than any run game they've really faced this year. It's similar in some ways to what San Francisco and Carolina do, but they do it at a much higher level, number one. But number two, Marshawn Lynch is just a different animal when it comes to the how he runs and you know some of these different plays. They'll run that stretch play, but they don't need to do it nearly as often as you know, you'll see those outside zone read, the inside zone read, a lot of these other plays that they'll run. Marshawn Lynch, I mean, he's one of the most physical players in the entire National Football League. But their pass game, look, you watch, they don't have an identity. And one of the things that I've noticed is, look, early in the season when they had Percy Harvin, that pass game was based on misdirection and screens and jet sweeps and reverses. And, like, you know, they think the ball's going here, but it's actually going there. There was some kind of an identity to it. And you thought, okay, well, you know, with Harvin traded to the Jets, like maybe they'll change it. And I don't know that they've kind of found themselves yet as a passing offense. I would say that their identity right now is let's hope that Russell Wilson makes some plays with his feet, whether it's through the air or if he's taken off and running with it. And it's work. I mean, he's gained. I mean, it's Greg Cosell actually gave me a stat they're going to use for the matchup show this week. He's gained 80 yards per game outside of structure over the last like 6 weeks.
That's a great
like that.
Cosell term, and you know
yeah,
it.
I know, but structure. it's I mean, it's crazy because that's, I mean, 80 yards is a lot, and that's those are the plays that he makes, you know, on the move when the play breaks down. So you have to account for that. You have to account for Russell Wilson being able to do that, and they invite that almost because of the amount they play in empty, so frequently, and it's almost that they invite the pressure and say, like, okay, Russell Wilson's going to beat your pressure.
Is Greg a Russell Wilson guy?
I don't want to speak for him, but you have some of the concerns.
He's wishy-washy.
You have some of the concerns with Russell Wilson that you have with some of these other guys, with a Johnny Manziel or with a Colin Kaepernick and Cam Newton. Some of these guys that are run first type players, and that you know at times Russell Wilson's gonna run out of the pocket or kind of drop his eyes and look to escape when he shouldn't. But I think he's a far better decision maker and just a more natural football player than the Colin Kaepernicks and Cam Newtons. He knows what he's doing. And he's a smart player. So that's why it's a little bit more dangerous than some of those other guys.
It is Russell Wilson, right?
It's not Wilson Russell.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. That would be interesting right there.
Just double checking.
Yeah.
I probably should
know that by now.
I think we should know. Yeah.
Super Bowl winning quarterback.
It seemed like at the beginning of the year, you talk about their identity, that they wanted Russell Wilson to kind of lead that offense, to be more of a pass-first type offense. So it seems like they've, you know, gotten back to at least Marshawn Lynch being the guy who carries things. But again, it's interesting to see that they're trying mid-season to try to find themselves in the wake of everything.
A lot of the things they do in the pass game are very simple, basic concepts. It's like stuff that you would see, you know, any team, you know, at a college or high school level run. It's all very basic stuff.
Bubble ball kind of things.
But, they're able to run it with that at that kind of high level because he's so good outside. Once things break down, you know, they count on him to be able to make plays. And look, sometimes that works against you. We saw a couple weeks ago when they played Arizona and they won 19-3. He got sacked seven times, and that wasn't on the offense. I mean, some of the, you know, there, I think one or two of those sacks you could probably say, like, oh, you know, this guy should have blocked this rusher, but a lot of that was on Russell, you know. So it'll be an interesting matchup. I'm really interested to see how the Eagles, you know, look to defend this backfield between him and Lynch.
So Seattle's defense been very, very good last two games. Not allowed a touchdown, just six total points. But at the same time, how much has it been the quarterbacks that they face? Drew Stanton had his struggles. Colin Kaepernick looked lost on Thanksgiving night. I mean, it's, if Mark Sanchez can do what he did in Dallas, just be smart with the football, you know, obviously you want the game situations to lend themselves to be, you know, in favorable predictable situation for the Eagles. But if Sanchez can take care of the football, it seems like that they should be able to move this ball against the Eagles defense, against the Seahawks defense.
I mean, that's the thing, is that you just got to keep the offense on schedule, keep the ball moving, take what they give you, and, you know, don't turn the ball over. And this offense is going to score points. I think we've kind of come to grips with that they're going to move the ball as long as you don't come out and turn the ball over in your own end, you know, give away points. And then obviously your defense has to hold up their end of the bargain as well. But if you come out, they're going to be able to move the ball, I think, on this defense. But look, I mean, there's a lot of good players over there, and they play a scheme where, you know, it used to be that, you know, you kind of pigeonholed those guys and said, like, okay, they're, you know, they're going to play cover three, and it's a four-man front, and they don't really blitz a lot, and it's a lot of zone coverage. They've really mixed things up this year. You know, you see Richard Sherman shadow players, you know, across the formation, you know, going to the slot, especially on third down. They'll kind of move him around. Lots of different blitz looks, and it's funny you touched on it. I think that the last couple weeks against San Francisco and against Arizona, they've featured a lot more blitz looks, a lot more man coverage looks. But I too wondered, is it because they were going up against Colin Kaepernick and Drew Stanton, or is this something that we can expect moving forward? It'll be interesting to see Sunday.
I cannot wait to see Jerry Maclin against Richard Sherman.
Yeah.
Do you think he'll be shadowing him all over the field, or do you think they'll keep him on the side?
Well, that's the thing too, is that Jerry Maclin runs most of his routes from that right side anyway. So you know, I would expect that more often than not, those two will be matched up on each other. They will, you know, they'll move Richard Sherman around, but I don't know that I've seen it where, you know, every single play he followed Dez Bryant around or, you know, Tavon Austin. But then there would be reps, you know, like the very last play when they played the Rams a few weeks back. It was the very last play of the game. Game was on the line. I think it was only Seattle was only up by 4 points. Tavon Austin was in the slot on the right side, so the opposite side of the field in the slot, and Richard Sherman was on him, and he ended up breaking up the pass from the slot. So, you know, they move him around, but I think they kind of pick and choose their spots.
Yeah, Maclin, who was outstanding against Patrick Peterson a couple weeks back. You've watched the tape of the previous games. You know, Dallas comes to mind. Dallas team was very successful against Seattle. What were some of the things that they did to beat that Seattle defense?
Well, you got to run the ball, and Dallas was able to run the ball really, really well against Seattle. And the big thing, too, is that Seattle, they've had a lot of injuries as well. I mean, Bobby Wagner's been hurt. Cam Chancellor was hurt. Brian Maxwell was hurt. So they've had a lot of issues. You know, Brandon Mebane is out now for them, the nose tackle. They've had a lot of injuries. O'Brien Schofield was out. They're kind of shuffling guys in and out of the lineup. Their nickel corner was out as well. They've had guys banged up all year long. And now that they're healthy, I think they're starting to hit their stride. So, I mean, it's going to be a big test for the Eagles' offense for sure.
One thing I noticed from the Niners game, the Seahawks-Niners game, is Earl Thomas just takes away so much of the field. And not just I'm not just talking about just the pass game, but the run game as well. Because there were holes where if you have a LeSean McCoy, a Darren Sproles, I think those types of players can exploit them. But against a Frank Gore, who's, you know, not the quickest of running backs, Earl Thomas can come and kind of take away the hole there. So I think that's going to be something that I'm interested to watch.
It's funny because, like, I talked earlier about how you pigeonhole that defense as a whole. Like, I feel like some of those guys you kind of pigeonhole into, like, little boxes and say, like, okay, you know, Cam Chancellor is a box player. Earl Thomas is a center fielder. Richard Sherman's a press corner that's always going to play cover three. Like, these guys are very versatile. And I don't think Cam Chancellor gets enough credit for his instincts and coverage. I don't think Earl Thomas gets enough credit for the way that he plays near the line of scrimmage as a tackler. I mean, I've seen numerous plays on tape where, you know, he's up, you know, either making a tackle for loss or a tackle near the line of scrimmage against the run. There's a reason why. I mean, Chip Kelly said it on Monday. Monday. There's a reason why the team won the Super Bowl last year. This is a very, very talented group.
Earl Thomas he's okay. He's good, but I'd still rather have Brandon Graham.
That's a sore subject for Eagles fans. Yeah.
What music is this?
Pearls of Wisdom.
Pearls of Wisdom.
Oh, nice.
Look at that.
That's pretty good. I don't really have one for this, but you know.
You got to stroke the beard. Probably got to stroke the beard.
Don't tell him.
Brandon Graham. you know, he gets pressure on the quarterback. He makes the locker room smell. I think he's, he brings a special something.
What I will say about Brandon Graham, it's you talk about patience and letting guys develop, but it's really amazing how he has turned his career around this year. I mean, from a guy who was obviously frustrated. Now, he had a good rookie season, had the knee injury, struggled to come back. You know, then he had the transition in scheme. And now this year, second year in the scheme, he's finally just seems to put it all together. You know, he's got his life right off the field. You know, he got married. He's, you know, completely focused and dedicated to the game, getting himself, you know, the right shape, eating right, all that good stuff, and putting the work in that it's now showing up for the Eagles.
Yeah, I mean, you guys remember how he started his career and just even the development over the last year, you know, in this scheme. I mean, he's just gotten so much better, and he's earned the production that he's had so far. I mean, he's earned a spot on this rotation at outside linebacker, and he's playing a number of different roles for this team.
So let's do a little transition here. So we've had some Eagles who have had some outstanding performances. You know, following the win over the Cowboys, it was Connor Barwin who was in the locker room and it said that Fletcher Cox is someone who deserves to be in the Pro Bowl. So Fletcher Cox, who, you know, not a guy who has big name recognition outside of Philadelphia, you know, I think started to make a name for himself nationally with that performance he had. Connor Barwin's had a career year. He's put himself in the national conscious. We wanted to go through the fan Pro Bowl vote.
Okay.
And see if you guys can figure out. The league has sent me the top 10 at each position as well as the top 10 overall players.
Okay.
How many of the guys at each position can you figure out? Now,
let's start with overall. That's interesting.
Let's start overall. Yeah. And should note that the conferences are combined. So, yeah, so it's not, you know, AFC and NFC. But this is voting strictly by the fans. This is not the player vote or anything like that yet. So we'll kick it off with top 10 overall.
Give us the Jeopardy music. And by the time the Jeopardy music's over, that'll be it.
I'll say Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers is number two
Peyton
on the
Manning.
List.
Yes.
Peyton Manning is number one.
Ah, got it.
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady is fourth.
Marshawn Lynch.
Marshawn Lynch. Good work by you. Number 10.
Nice. Andy Luck.
Andy Luck is third.
Oh, good one. Megatron.
Megatron is not in the top 10.
Yes, okay.
Probably, you know, probably any other year. Battling injuries, all right. Not in there.
Fill out the rest of the top 10.
Wait, no, I get. Come on.
Even amount of guesses here.
All right, well then I won. That's fine.
It's true. You did get me on this.
All right, so
excellent.
A player
this is
we've.
A good one. This is a good one though. I want to do this one.
It's a top 10 overall.
We're going to talk about all these names anyway.
Fran's waiting until top 10 centers.
Yeah, I know.
Fran's, comes up and he'll
you
be like,
give him, This is my only chance to make up some ground here. How about Jordy Nelson?
Jordy Nelson is number 9.
Yes.
DeMarco Murray.
DeMarco Murray.
Good one.
Fifth.
Good one.
He is the highest non-quarterback.
Okay.
Two guys.
Okay, I got one.
Okay.
Antonio Brown.
Very good. Very nice work.
That is correct. He
is seventh. So you have number 6 and number 8.
Drew Brees.
Drew Brees is not in the top 10.
I know one.
How about I'm gonna go off the board here.
Okay.
Steve Ballas is not
you know
an
what?
Answer.
I'm gonna say Le'Veon Bell.
Nice work, number 6.
Gronk.
Oh, good guess.
No.
No.
Wow. Oh, can I go a clean sweep here?
Number 8.
Oh,
who
man.
Is number
clean
8?
Clean sweep.
8 is great.
Oh, this is tough. I'm going to say...
You were feasting on turkey, reportedly, on Thanksgiving. This player, once upon a time, gave up meat.
Oh, Arian Foster?
Very nice.
Okay. That would not have been my...
No,
my
and that's,
guess,
that's kind that's of okay. Some cheesy
right.
Hint there.
That was good.
So, should
wow.
we go...
That was like Eagles-Cowboys, the domination level there.
It's all right.
You all saw.
Talk is cheap.
Should we go to...
Tell that to the Eagles D-line.
Yeah.
So quarterbacks, this is a fun one. All right, so you've already named Manning, Rodgers, Luck.
Brady
as well, yep. Fourth. Right. I will tell you that Breeze is in the top 10. He's number 8.
There, yep. Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead. All right, I'll start it off. Phillip Rivers.
Phillip Rivers is seventh, correct.
Big Benjamin Roethlisberger.
No, he is in there, number five.
Matthew Stafford.
No, he is not.
Wow.
You're so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Good
drop. That is not nice.
Tony Romo.
Tony Romo, of course he's in there, number six.
Matt Ryan.
No.
This is embarrassing.
One you will see this Sunday, and the other you will...
Eli Manning is the other one?
No.
Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson pointed
to himself.
Well, no, he said we'll see this Sunday. You don't get credit for that.
I'm giving that point to PT for that.
Okay.
Could have been Mark Sanchez.
Is it G.J. Kinney?
You know, the actual answer is probably as... The number 10 quarterback may not be starting this Sunday. May not be starting.
Is it Brian Hoyer?
Brian Hoyer.
Wow. Wow, that's an upset. Excellent.
That's a reason enough to not start Johnny Football.
That's good. That's good stuff.
Let's go to the running backs. So you got Murray, you got Bell, you got Foster. Those are the only ones that you have named to this point.
Go ahead, Bell.
LeSean McCoy.
LeSean McCoy, number 9.
Matt Forte.
Matt Forte is fifth.
Eddie Lacy.
Eddie Lacy is seventh.
Jamal Charles.
Jamal Charles is number six.
Keep it in your pants. Marshawn Lynch.
Fourth.
I said Lynch in the other one.
Did you say in the other one?
We're all players. So I'll take that point. Thank you.
All right.
No, you were incorrect back then.
So you have number 8 and number 10 are on the board.
Alfred Morris?
No.
Bad guess.
Andre Ellington.
Wow, number 8. Nice, good work by you.
Oh, it's the first point you've gotten over me.
Number 10's a breakout player for 2014.
Justin Forsett.
That is correct.
Good one.
Justin Forsett is number 10.
Good one.
All right. Let's go to the receivers. So you've got Brown, got Jordy. I think those are all the ones you've named to this point.
Bring up the music. Let's see it.
Megatron is not in the top 10.
Megatron's not in the top 10.
For receivers. All right. But a teammate of his.
Who's going first?
Is.
Wow, well, there you go.
All right.
So he just gave his golden ticket.
All right, yeah, that doesn't count.
Okay. Let's go with...
Jeremy Maclin. He's eighth, yes.
Dez Bryant
is fourth.
Alshon Jeffrey.
Alshon is... somewhere beyond number 10.
Randall Cobb,
6.
Sammy Watkins.
No.
God, you are terrible at this game.
I'm going off the film.
Let's see. So number three, number four, number five, number seven, and number 9.
Okay. Julio Jones.
Julio Jones is 9.
T.Y. Hilton.
T.Y. Hilton is 5th.
Brandon Marshall.
No.
Demaryius Thomas.
Number 3. There you go.
Can't let you get Demaryius Thomas and guess Brandon Marshall. Idiot! Incoherent
response. So we have number 4.
Considered
irrational. And then number 7. Number 4 and number 7 are still on the board. One in each conference.
Okay.
Kelvin Benjamin.
Oh, God, no.
No.
Going off fans.
Do you think Carolina Panthers fans are lighting up the balance?
I'm trying to put my...
They don't even know. There aren't even any of them.
There's a lot of fantasy football fans out there, all right?
One I'm shocked that has not been mentioned.
I know. Is it Emmanuel Sanders?
Yes, it is. Nice.
Woo! Well, that'll require some fixing on the back end. Sorry, man. All right, go ahead.
All right. We'll just go... No, top 5 tight ends.
We'll pare it down. Let's go top five.
Yeah, we got to keep this
going. All right, so Gronk was already mentioned.
Yeah, Gronk.
Number 1.
Jimmy Graham
is 3rd.
Let's go with Julius Thomas.
2nd.
Jason Witten.
No. He's in top 10, but not top 5.
Antonio Gates.
Antonio Gates is 4.
Okay.
And you just mocked their fan base.
Greg Olson.
Yes.
What's your name? G-Reg. What'd you do? Get votes.
Oh, man. Gotta stop with
how you do it.
All right. We'll make this the Fran Duffy portion here.
Yeah, here's where he makes up ground.
Right, top 5 centers.
Top 5 centers. Go ahead, Bo.
Okay.
Kelsey is number 8.
Okay.
I'll give you that.
All right.
Ryan Khalil.
Ryan Khalil is number 7.
Bad guess. Too bad. Travis Frederick.
He is number 1 on the top of the list.
Max Unger.
Max Unger. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Number 5.
Rich Ornberger.
Oh, jeez. I'm struggling for some reason to remember the guy's name from the Jets. Mangold. Nick
Holly
Mangold.
Holly Mangold.
Yes, number 3.
Steven Wisniewski.
No.
Raider Nation.
Whoever the Steelers center is.
Pouncey.
Marquise Pouncey.
It's my turn.
That was good. No, you got that. That was you. Good call.
Is it the, whoever the...
Oh, Alex Mack.
No.
Is no.
It's the Broncos center.
Correct. Manny Ramirez.
Tom Nalen. All right.
Stevie Vallos.
Oh.
Wow.
Do I even want to do guards?
You want to do top 3?
Yeah. Top 3. Nerd
alert. All right.
And it's disgusting.
Top 3 is disgusting.
The top 3 is disgusting. Yeah.
Is it Zach Martin?
Number 1.
Oh my god. I mean,
excellent.
That's not the one that's disgusting. So.
Right. Okay.
Vote.
Right. I don't know. Give it to us.
Richie Incognito.
Number 11. No. So Josh Sitton.
Okay.
Packers number
Bay.
2.
Yep, okay. Sure.
Ronald Leary.
All right. Well,
Zach Martin's teammate. So
okay.
That's good.
Dallas Cowboys.
Top 4. Top 4 tackles.
You want to do top 4?
Yeah.
Top 4 tackles.
You get to go first.
Tyron Smith.
Number 1.
Yeah, that was
easy. People in Dallas.
Doug Free.
He is 4.
Yeah.
It's good.
Free Doug.
How about
you, Cowboys? All right. I'm assuming Jason Peters is not on the list.
He is 8th.
Yep. All right. So Trent Williams. Probably not going to be on the
both
list.
AFC.
Yeah, both AFC.
Thomas Joe.
Yes, correct. Boom. Number 3.
That is correct.
When in doubt, go with the team that has the best offense.
Denver's left tackle.
Ryan Clady.
There you go.
Okay. All solid. Right,
so now let's move it on. Pass right. Rusher.
Oh, man.
So,
oh, man, this is getting
so
boring for
yeah,
people.
Yeah, we got to get out of this. Let's go. Let's keep it going.
Let's go. So top 3.
Yeah. We'll
defensive ends.
Defensive ends.
Defensive ends.
Jared Allen.
Name recognition. It's not a bad idea.
It's not a bad guess. It was not in there, though.
DeMarcus man. Ware.
He is 2nd.
Wow.
The number 1 is...
Yeah, J.J. Watt.
Number 1 eyes. Okay, yes. Okay. Okay.
Brilliant.
Number 3, AFC, he's been the Pro Bowl. Carson Palmer.
Cameron Wake.
Very good, number
good
3.
Good one,
We're
only down 10 now.
All right.
Defensive tackles.
Dominican Sue.
Yeah.
Number 2.
Vince Wilfork.
Good one.
Ooh, that's going 9th.
I'm surprised by that.
Yeah, me too. Go ahead. Ben.
Obviously,
you
said it. Terrence Knighton.
Can we have a replay of that set?
Yeah. Better than
pot this. Roast. Guys
being not pot roast. He should be. Geno Atkins.
Oh, I got one.
No.
Well, I guess he's a defensive end, right? Sheldon Richardson.
He is 4th.
Oh, nice one. Muhammad Wilkerson?
Number 3, yep.
Oh, man. I gave
Big
it
Mo. To
mm-hmm. So, number 1, former first-round pick, AFC.
Fletcher Cox. Oh, NFC.
Thanks, Bo. Thanks. Welcome to the
Don Terry Poe?
No.
Oh, that was a good guess. I got nothing.
Team that they do lead the league in sacks. Yes, they do.
Oh,
no.
No. Isn't Buffalo League in
yeah.
sacks?
Marcel Darius.
Yes, very
oh,
good.
Oh, wow.
Interesting. All right.
All right. Let's
what?
Do.
Outside linebacker?
We'll do outside linebackers. Connor Barwin is 7th. Just to let okay. you guys know.
Do you want to go first?
Levante David.
Levante David is 5th.
Clay Matthews.
Clay Matthews is 3rd.
Man. This is tough. Let's go with. I don't know. Ryan Kerrigan.
9th, believe it or not.
Von Miller.
Von Miller is number 1. Same division is number 2. and same conference is number four.
Terrell Suggs.
Close. Right team. Wrong player.
Courtney Upshaw. Elvis Dumervil.
Elvis Dumervil is number four.
PT.
And the NFL's leader in sacks is number two.
Justin Houston.
Very good.
Okay.
All right.
Inside linebacker.
Sean Lee.
Number two.
Not a bad guess.
No.
Luke Kuechly.
Luke Kuechly is number one.
Luke Kuechly.
Luke Kuechly.
Luke Kuechly.
The next three, two through four, all reside in the AFC North.
Vontaze Burfict?
No, not on the list.
Ray Lewis.
Ooh, no.
Is CJ Mosley?
Yeah, he's number two.
Oh, nice. There we go. I got nothing.
LaVon Kirkland.
Good.
Yeah, who is it?
Steelers. Carlos Dansby is third for the Browns. Lawrence Timmons from the Steelers at fourth.
Right. Okay.
Rolando McClain is fifth.
Okay.
Let's see.
Yeah. So I actually would have guessed him
again. Yeah. Corner.
So let's see. Cornerback.
Should we do five for this one?
Five.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
I think you guys can get
going. Richard Sherman.
He is number four.
Wow. Patrick Peterson.
Patrick Peterson is not in the top five. He is seventh.
Darrell Revis.
He's number one.
Joe Hayden.
Joe Hayden is number five.
Yeah. Huge.
Aqib Talib.
Number two.
Yeah. Oh, Kyle Fuller.
Kyle Fuller.
Oh, yeah.
Number three.
There you go.
All right, so now safeties, they divvied up as free and strong.
Oh, let's just do top two.
This is craziness.
So,
silly. Earl Thomas.
Absurdity.
Earl Thomas is number two for free safeties.
Nailed it.
Tashaun Gibson of the Browns is the number one.
Wow. Vote getter. All right. Strong safety.
Strong safety.
Cam Chancellor.
Well, I don't know about
number
that.
One. Would you like to go number two? It's just
you
flipping
ask
a
that,
team.
You want to ask that differently?
He's been here for a while.
Yeah.
I got nothing. What do you got?
It's the Browns' other safety, Whitner.
Wow. Okay.
Cleveland fans, right. Shout out for Brian Hoyer, yeah. Tayshaun Gibson.
I think
and
the moral
Whitner.
Of this story, if you've mercilessly made it through, is that Eagles fans, we need to vote.
Yeah,
a little bit
step
more.
Up Let's the go. Voting.
Yeah,
so.
It's craziness.
All right, why don't we get into the fails?
Where's Cody Parkey?
Ooh, let me see where Cody Parkey is. He is in the top 10.
Is Donnie Jones
the top league's 10. Leading point scorer? He's
oh no, he's not in the top 10.
Oh come on!
Oh my God, he's the Kevin Durant of the NFL.
I'm trying to see who
people
else.
Bo, get out and vote.
Bo, you are the real MVP.
Donnie Jones is not in the top 10. Sproles is number two for returners.
Okay.
Behind who? Hester?
Yes.
Devin Hester Prynne. Give me a break.
And Ghost, Chris Maragos, number nine.
I mean, we're talking about a process where a guy literally earned like 6 years of Pro Bowl votes by getting his face stepped on by Albert Haynesworth and Andre Girard. He never went to a Pro Bowl until that happened. And then after that, he had the name recognition.
Because they're like, it's a center. Oh, Andre Girard. Yeah, that guy.
I know him.
Exactly. Yeah. So our fails of the week. Now, we're going to go to the association for number five. It's a Houston Rockets fan. Goes a little...
Let's go Rocks.
All right. So, okay.
He looks like Kevin Love.
Doing a little dance. Oh, wow.
Oh, man.
That's strong. I'm waiting for some dollar bills to start
that
getting
thrown at him.
That is
a stronger statement than Bo Vember.
Whoa!
Oh. For the war. That's fantastic.
I feel bad for the guy who's sitting here. Is like,
all right,
I have a philosophical difference of what constitutes a fail. This guy is like asking for attention. He's doing this on purpose. To me, a fail is something that happens when they're not trying to get attention. I don't want to go. I don't want to go meta on the fails of the week.
No,
here, but
we need Brian, our producer, to go back to the soundboard to put in the philosophical music there.
I mean,
so.
To be fair, the guy is wearing acid wash jeans with a Superman belt buckle and I Love Rockets.
Yeah, but
painted
he's going. That's
chest.
What he's going. He put this entire thing together so that he could be on fails of the week. That's not what.
That's
I'm
exactly
looking,
what he was thinking.
That's
of.
Not what I'm looking to reward.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm reading that with the look in his eyes. I don't know if that's the true intentions there.
The whole thing is, it's just so embarrassingly bad. It's beyond. There's people who
but
obviously try to get attention.
But he's not doing this because he thinks it's good. He thinks it's good.
Well,
like he thinks in town we should cheer the team. If he slipped after the water went and he hit his head on the pole, then we're talking.
Well, look, it's number five, all right?
Okay, that's fair. That's a fair point. That's a fair point.
So number four, we're going to the college ranks. Minnesota at Wisconsin, in between the third and fourth quarter timeout. Defensive back Marcus Jones dances to House of Pain's Jump Around. Fans will do it at Eagles games every week.
I mean, and I think that's impressive.
Yeah. And the offense, so it's pretty much that.
It doesn't
team
really look like moves to
well,
jump
it's
around.
The fact that, it's the fact that his team is.
Yeah. Team's losing.
Yeah. Teams, and his team is discussing strategy for next quarter, and he's having a good old time out there.
That's fail worthy.
That's why it's a fail.
Could you pull that off? I think C-Mac could pull that off.
The prompt here says who has the best dance moves on the podcast.
I would probably tear my ACL as Stephen Tulloch did celebrating a sack celebration. Who was the guy in Oakland who tore his?
No, it was Chicago.
Chicago, you're right.
It was
Bill Gramatica
from Oakland. I forget the guy's name, but yeah.
Bill Gramatica.
Correct, yeah.
So we go number three, West Virginia at Iowa State. So here it's a fail, but I think Bo will be happy with this one. So it's a little slippery. Oh
yes. Oh, that nice. Is a good fail. Okay. I like that. I wish he'd like fully like fallen back.
But then the guy behind.
Oh. Yeah, it's a double.
Yeah, it's the second guy that makes
it. Yeah.
All right.
So that's number three. So it's
got
pretty
two,
good.
Two refs falling on one play. It's pretty good.
It's pretty good. So number two, go back to the NFL. Eddie Royal, speedy receiver. He's running in the open field, and he's going to get caught by Will Hill. And then got DJ Fluker strips the ball from his own teammate.
It's kind of a fluke play.
Nice.
Nicely done.
He was there.
Subtle. Understated.
If only we had a DJ to drop.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, so.
Yeah, big. It's a pretty big fail.
So the first forced fumble of his career. And number one, we're going to soccer. So I don't know anything that's going on here.
Oh, yeah, I've seen this.
So
it's this. Here
it's
comes.
It's a flop. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But jeez. See, like, as someone who played soccer growing up, this is the kind of guy that, like, gives the sport a bad name.
That's.
It's the fact that's a real flop.
That's
it's like a fish flopping out of water.
That's great.
That is impressive. Those are some good dance moves.
That is good. Maybe that's what he was doing. Jump around.
Jump around. Was
yeah, that's pretty bad.
Oh, so those.
That's pretty good.
Ladies and gentlemen, are your fails of the week. Shout out to Derek in Dallas, who I met at the team hotel.
Poor sucker made it all the way through this podcast.
He said that he listens to the podcast when he's on the road, so appreciate the support. And
we should have some kind of contest for people who listen all the way through.
What was the number one fail of the week? Ask a simple question like that. Where?
Yeah, that could be in the works. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll talk with BT
I'll think
after
about
this.
That later. Yeah.
All right. So, any final thoughts? So we get ready for Sunday's.
Let's do a thing. Let's do like first person to send in.
So to tweet.
We'll give away something from the merchandise shed.
Yep.
The last time we asked, we like put out there for fan response though was Eagles Beakley. So that was the best we got from that. So hopefully.
And look where we are now. It's fantastic.
I think we should go out right away.
Let's think of a question. Tweet us. Just the first person to tweet Eagles Beakley at Eagles Insider. Just hashtag Eagles Beakley.
Bo will personally package something up and send it to you.
Deal.
And he will shave.
Not a deal. Not until the segment that this beard has been waiting for is aired or filmed.
That's it.
Well, thank you for joining us today on Eagles Beakley. Hope you guys have a wonderful week. Hope the Eagles can beat the Seahawks.
I'm out.
He's got to stroke the beard or something.
And get in line for the number two seed so that I can go see my friend get married in Portland, Oregon on the 2nd of January. Thanks for watching, everybody.
Do we have
for
the Chris camera McPherson, doing the
for friend Duffy.
Close up.
This has been Eagles Beakley.
See you next week, everybody.
We'll see you next week.